Air and water quality monitoring starts in Skagway, and the Skagway Assembly will discuss correspondence from White Pass. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. The National Park Service and the Municipality of Skagway are conducting research on air and water quality in Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park. KHNS's Henry Leisha reports.
Air and water in Southeast Alaska is quite clean compared to more developed areas of the world. But in such a pristine area, even small amounts of pollution can have serious impacts on visibility and sensitive ecosystems. For this reason, the National Park Service keeps close tabs on contaminants that enter the water and air from fossil fuel emissions. 10 years ago, a baseline study was conducted that measured contaminants such as sulfur and nitrogen compounds found in the air. Researchers tested lichen for these compounds. Chris Sargent, an ecologist with the National Park Service, explains that lichen absorbs the same contaminants found in the atmosphere.
You can collect lichen from the ground or from a branch, measure different elements like nitrogen or sulfur, and get a good indicator of what's actually occurring out in the air.
The study also used ion exchange samplers to collect data on sulfur and nitrogen compounds found in rainwater, snow, and the air itself. The results of the baseline study indicated that for the most part, contaminants were not at a concerning level. Lower Dewey Reservoir had a slightly elevated level of sulfur, but nothing that crossed any environmental regulation thresholds. This year, the National Park Service will use the same methods to collect air quality data to see how the levels of contaminants have changed. Sargent says the Park Service is most concerned about contamination of remote areas.
We can compare the values collected in Skagway with levels throughout Southeast Alaska. And if we saw a significant departure from remote sites that really aren't exposed to any human impacts, then we would start to get more concerned.
This year's study will also add water quality data that was not collected for the baseline report. The National Park Service will be partnering with the Northern Oceanic Atmospheric Administration to look at hydrocarbons in water related to fossil fuel emissions. According to Jamie Belt, the Natural Resource Program Manager for Klondike National Park, air quality regulations have caused many cruise ships to install a cleaning system for their smokestacks. She says these systems reduce the amount of sulfur released into the air, but there are concerns about the water used to scrub the smokestacks that ends up back in the ocean.
By scrubbing those out of their stacks, they use wash water, and then they have to discharge that wash water back out into the ocean. And so there's just some interest in knowing what sort of changes might be coming from that additional input from the wash water.
As part of a monitoring program for all Southeast parks, the study will also measure mercury levels in the Taya River. Sargent explains that staff will collect Dolly Varden to be tested for mercury.
We use Dolly Varden as an indicator of mercury levels because it feeds high on the food chain of all the fish that live in lakes and rivers. They have a high chance of accumulating mercury the fastest, and they're generally a good indicator of how much mercury is present in the system.
Air and water quality data will be collected over the next year. The Skagway Municipality will use the data to inform its understanding of air and water contaminants and see what impact they have on public health. For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha.
The Skagway Assembly is set to discuss correspondence with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad behind closed doors Thursday. Last month, the municipality sent White Pass a letter through its attorney proposing a new way forward on port developments. On May 11th, White Pass responded, though the municipality has not yet made the reply public. The assembly will also discuss Borough Manager Scott Hahn's yearly evaluation in executive session. Also on the agenda is the introduction and first reading of an ordinance regulating vacation rentals. This action was postponed from an April 19th meeting. The assembly is reviewing the ordinance as the municipality tries to help alleviate the seasonal housing crisis in Skagway. There will be a public hearing on the second reading of an ordinance allowing for the establishment and adoption of the FY19 budget. The meeting is Thursday at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. You can listen live through a link on our website, khns.org. A spending bill passed by the legislature revives plans for a road north out of Juneau. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
For decades, backers have pushed for construction of a road north out of Juneau. The goal is a closer connection to Haines and Skagway, which have road links to the mainland highway system. But 2 years ago, Governor Bill Walker halted what's called the Juneau Access Project. It was among a group of large projects Walker said Alaska could no longer afford. Juneau Senator Dennis Egan, a Democrat, says that was a mistake.
Everybody you talk to in the rail belt especially says, why can't you drive to the capital? Well, unlike Honolulu, we could make a way to drive to Juneau.
That's one reason Egan and other state senators put a little more than $20 million in the capital budget. It's money Walker reallocated to other projects in the same general area, so rather than new spending, it shifted back. Opponents say the project would damage the ocean and the shore where the 50-mile road would be built. They also point out travelers would still have to take a short ferry ride to connect to the mainland road system. There's also a possibility that the governor could veto the reappropriation. The legislature's capital budget also helps fund a hydropower project near Cake, a small southeast city that's dependent on diesel generators. Jody Mitchell is CEO of the Inside Passage Electrical Cooperative, which plans to build at Gunnock Creek.
The project will actually provide estimated 2/3 of the current Cake load. And at times, we'll actually be able to turn the diesels off, which is kind of the gold standard for hydro.
Close to $4 million is appropriated to the project. Mitchell says the nonprofit also hopes to win a $3 million federal grant, which would complete the funding. But if it doesn't, the cooperative could take out a loan. Another project in the capital budget would upgrade the King and Coho Salmon Hatchery at Crystal Lake near Petersburg. It's run by the Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association. In an interview earlier this year, production manager Bill Gass said the $1.5 million in the capital budget will replace raceways that have been leaking for several years.
The danger now is that we're afraid that this leak could turn into a catastrophic failure, at which point we could lose the whole thing. So it buys us continued time to operate.
The budget also includes $5 million to help dispose of lead-contaminated soil from an old junkyard in Wrangell. The state plans to store it locally, but leaders want it shipped south. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.